You know you're stressed out when your shoulders are so hunched up, your earrings are stuck in your sweater. Your chocolate craving is your motivating life force. You'd rather get a colonoscopy than have dinner with friends. Your to-do list is so long, you're tripping on it. You can't keep track of your basic gear, your wallet, your keys, your glasses, or your children. You know what? That makes me think of this one day I have to tell you really fast. My 11-year-old, she's probably 9 then, we're jamming out of the house, and she's always with me. Like, she's that kiddo that just sticks by mama, right? And I get in the car, and I'm backing up, and all of a sudden, I see my daughter come running out of the backyard. Mommy! Mommy! I thought she was in the back seat. I've never done that before. Woo! Yeah, you need to check. See if your children are with you. She still says, Mom, remember that time? Your default facial expression is a grimace. People quit greeting you with, how are you, and replace it with, what's wrong now? Getting out of bed is the biggest impediment in your day. Getting to sleep at night is your second biggest. That's sad. This one's hilarious. You can't find a good reason why you shouldn't kick puppies, slap babies, or trip old people. Isn't that terrible? My oldest thought that was hilarious. I know, isn't that terrible? But I didn't want to nix it because it's funny. You think road rage is a good defensive driving method, and you scream certain words out your car window. Your personal food pyramid is made up exclusively of alcohol, cigarettes, Cheetos, and coffee. Yeah. Your idea of a good lunch is the leftovers from your child's Happy Meal. I have been there. You operate on two levels, fight and flight. You're so addicted to your stress hormones that your family leaves the room when you enter. That's sad. You've developed a technique. This is hilarious. You've developed a technique for applying makeup to draw attention away from your facial tic. I thought that was funny. Your dominant personality traits are cynicism, negativity, frustration, and impatience. Oh, we can all relate at times. Your workload is so heavy, your desk tips to one side. And this is funny, too. You're too stressed out to finish the book you're reading on stress. You're 30 minutes late for the doctor's office because you're 20 minutes late getting out of the hairdresser's, because you were 10 minutes late dropping the kids off at school, because the car ran out of gas 2 blocks from the gas station, and you forgot your purse in the dog run because you stopped to feed him on the way out. That's me. That's mine. No kidding. I added that because I've lived through that one. Like, oh, you know, do you do that on the way out of the house? You think of 3 million things you can do on the way out, and then you're late? I am the worst. Like, you know, oh, I should put that load of laundry in. I can, you know, I can put those few dishes in the dishwasher. You know. Oh, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Things you can do when you set your alarm. And it goes beep, beep, beep before you have to leave and it goes off.
Oh, right.
I can do 3, like, put the wash in the dryer. Yeah. Get my glass of water. And there's one other thing I can do and walk out the door in that 30 seconds. Isn't that sad?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy that we pack our lists that hard. And the last one on this is your saying daily is, oh, I hate this. You know, when you're getting to that stress level. So we're going to talk tonight about how to get from, oh, I hate this, to I'm grateful. I'm really grateful. So first I really wanted to paint a picture of how we feel the world looks sometimes. And this is what I was thinking. We live in a world that is fast-paced, technologically driven, overpopulated, in debt, violent, achievement-oriented, materially focused, sexually perverted, relationally retarded, and organically diminished. Isn't that sad? So why wouldn't we be stressed, right? And you're all thinking, you know, Sharon, I felt better before you started speaking. But I'm painting this picture because really, we live in a fallen world. And this fallen world pressures us people. That's right, and we're going there. We don't have to let it get to us because we have so much inside of us, don't we? Thank you. So I want you to take a look at this quick clip because we're going to see how this guy handles stress in the workplace. So pretty funny, huh? But not very effective, right? But can't we all relate to that? Sometimes we're just like, oh, I'm going to throw this computer out the window. And as Christian women, we feel like we should be able to beat the stresses of everyday life just because we're saved, right? I should be able to handle this. And then we discover that we're not always able to successfully handle it all the time. Sometimes we allow life circumstances or emotions or other people or busy schedules to pull us down and steal some of our joy. And then on top of that, we beat ourselves up and we walk around guilt-ridden for not handling it better. Honestly, the pace of life is not going to change. Trials and testings will come. People will disappoint us, including ourselves. So what do we do to keep ourselves focused and peaceful and successfully coping with everyday challenges? Some of society's coping strategies are to tell us to think positive, read a self-help book, do random acts of kindness, have numerous sexual partners, get away from it all. Yeah, it's okay to say sex. God made it. Get it, numerous. That's the world's, yeah. Get away. That is hilarious. That is hilarious. I said the world. Get away from it all. Go shopping and buy whatever you want and run up your credit card. Have a body lift. Enroll in a yoga class. Save a whale and eat healthy. You know, I was on the internet for days looking at, you know, the kind of things that you could do to help yourself with stress. And that was kind of the basis of it. Some of those things would be helpful. And some would bring some happiness. Others are blatant lies and very empty. But all are temporary and insufficient stress busters. So what do? How do we relieve stress in a stressful world? And where do we find coping skills? You know what I'm going to say, don't you? Yeah. We need to go to God's Word. And we need to go to our Creator. Because He is the source of truth and wisdom and true love and peace. I want you to listen to this song because tonight we didn't do worship or anything. And this isn't actually a Christian song, but it is a beautiful song that is called Sweet Serendipity. And it's kind of what happens when we really learn and we do that discipline of accessing God every day. And it's actually the ultimate stress buster. And this was a song that was sung by Lee DeWise, who was the season's Idol winner on season 9. So let's just listen to this. Just relax. And let's listen to Sweet Serendipity for a minute. Isn't that a sweet song? And you know what's really sweet about it? Is listen to the definition of serendipity. It is an aptitude for making desirable discoveries by accident. And I think that's exactly what happens when we start digging into God's Word. It is like an adventure. You think you're going in for one thing, and when you come out of it, God has done this amazing work that's beyond what you were even digging for. That's how it is, sweet serendipity with Him. So, as we get to know the Word of God, we get to know God. We get to know His character, His power, His love for us. And so we build this aptitude of making desirable discoveries. We find these little nuggets and these treasures of wisdom for living. So in spending that time, in taking the discipline, we begin to perceive life, ourselves, and others through our Heavenly Father's eyes. And that makes all the difference, even if the circumstance never changes. So basically, we transform from the inside out. Our thinking becomes like His. Our relationships become more like His. And our living becomes fuller. It's full of Him. So we end up closer to Him. He ends up becoming our true beloved. Now, sometimes we think, oh gosh, I'm just getting up. I read for my 5 minutes, or I read for my 10 minutes, or I did my half an hour quiet time. Tick. We tick it off our list, right? But even if, ladies, even if you feel like you're just going through the motions, God is doing a holy work. He's doing his thing. And somewhere down the road, you're going to wake up one morning and go, wow, wait a minute. I'm not functioning in the same old patterns as I was 2 months ago. Huh. That's your Heavenly Father doing what he does best, transforming us. But for that to happen, we have to give. We have to do that small discipline. And then we have to go through that process of persevering. And then the amazing things, we watch them unfold. God does more than we do. He really does. And the great thing about it is we have Jesus Christ, who was this awesome example. And we can go to the Word and we can read about his life and go, oh, that's what it looks like between God and him. So it should look kind of like that between God and me. So I want to take us, if you have your Bible, we can go there. If not, I'm just going to read it out loud anyway, to John 17. And in this section of scripture, it's when Jesus is going to return to his Father in the heavenly places. And in 16:28, it says, I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. And then we go to chapter 17. I'm going to read the first 5 verses. Jesus prays for himself. It's good to know that Jesus did that, right? After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is the key verse here. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Let's think about that. Jesus, our Lord, was only given a few short years on this earth to accomplish the entire plan of redemption. That's not small potatoes, right? He brought truth and life to a dying world. He saved the souls of all of lost humanity, if we choose him. And he did all this. He did his complete to-do list and accomplished it. And he was able to say, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Do you think that that is truth for you? Think about it. We're going to look from the stressors to the stress busters now. There are 3 important things we learn from Jesus in this part of Scripture. It's his example to us. He communicates with God and they have a tight relationship. His life purpose was to glorify God. He was able to accomplish the work God gave him. Those 3 things should apply to us as well. We want to justify our thinking and our lifestyles and say, well, you know, he was God. It's different for me and God. But that's not true. That is a lie. Don't believe that lie. Because it's straight out of the pits of hell and it's there to take you straight to discouragement. Don't go there. You were created to have a close relationship with God. And God has provided his Holy Spirit so that can happen. He has provided his word and Jesus died and rose again. No reason for us not to have a close relationship. Your life's purpose. Now this is going to take some dying. Your and my life's purpose should shift from personal happiness and success to glorifying God. The world is screaming at us as we, you know, get the next job or go to the next level in our careers or what we're doing in the household. Are we the room mommy? Are we leading up the scout group? Are we the church leader? Whatever it is. Success, success, success. I'm telling you that we need to have a brain transplant and we need to think, wait a minute. My purpose in life is to glorify God. And I'll tell you, if we drive hard at that, we're going to have fulfillment and we are going to have great success because it says if you commit your way to the Lord, he will give you success. And then you do have enough time to do everything you are supposed to do. The work God has given you to do and the person that God has ordained you to be is all absolutely attainable. It's a done deal because we got the big guy on our side. So how do we get to this place of not believing the lies and really focusing and accessing all that God wants to pour in and through us? One, I'm going to go there again, ladies, because I cannot say it enough. Meditate on God's word every day. No excuses. I know you're going to say, I don't have time. Yes, you do. Make it a priority. I don't care if you're reading the scripture on the toilet. Yeah, it's the throne, they say. If you don't have the time, then get up 15 minutes earlier. Jesus died on the cross. We can get up 15 minutes earlier. Do you love him? It's a love relationship. Do it. It will be worth it in the end because that's when the sweet serendipity starts happening. God starts doing this amazing thing and is way more than you dug for. So you sit down, you read God's word every day, you meditate on it. That means chew on it. Maybe you memorize some favorite verses you feel like God went woo, woo, woo and showed you in the word. And you write those down. You type them on an index card. You put them on the mirror, over the sink, on your dashboard, on your books, at your work desk, on the treadmill. Whatever it takes, read over them. You just clear your mind and you just wash your brain and your heart and your mind with those scriptures. And then you're saying, God, teach me the meaning of this. What does this mean in my life today? And then you blatantly be honest with them about where you're at with that verse. I don't understand it, or it ticks me off. God, show me. Be honest, and changes will come. Your heart from the inside out. Whew. You'll wake up one morning and go, wow, I don't have that resentment anymore. Crazy freedoms like that. And it's not like, I'm not going to have resentment anymore. That doesn't work, does it? It's the Holy Spirit that does it. If you're communing with them and saying, okay, I'm opening up to you, God, come on in. And so it makes me think of Psalm 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Isn't that a pretty little verse? I hate that when people do that. That's so special. But are we really letting it light our path? Or are we like, I don't think so. It needs to have meaning and purpose in our existence, in our daily living. Okay, second one. We have got to get our minds off ourselves. And it's so hard, isn't it? Every time I look in the rearview mirror, who's there? In the microwave oven, who's there? Wherever I go, I'm there. I'm nauseating. I'm so consumed with me, right? But one of the best stress busters is to get our minds off ourselves. The first someone else to focus on is our Heavenly Father, our beloved, the one who knows our hearts better than we know them ourselves. And then others will come after that. And do it in that order. Because if you go out there and try and be the Good Samaritan and love everybody, you won't have what it takes. And then you'll get more stressed. So make sure you pour into that focus on the other who is God, your beloved. And then we have to purpose in our hearts when we wake up in the morning to ask God, okay, if my life is about glorifying you, God, what does that look like today? How can I please you today, Father? I'm going to be other-oriented. How can I please you today? How can my life be a sweet fragrance to you today? And like Jesus, how can my life express your will, God's? I'm going to lay down my will at the altar 3 million times today if that's what it takes. I'm yours. And then you have to configure the rest of your prayers? Because we tend to get up in the morning and run to God and say, okay, this is what I have to do today. Can you help me with this, this, and this, and this, God? Thank you so much. And you run out the door. God's with me because I asked him to be. Come on. That's how it is sometimes. And we want to change that. Instead, we want to cultivate the skill of listening to God, hanging out with God, having a mocha with God, where you're just like, I'm not going to talk the entire time. You know, God, I was thinking about that scripture that I read this morning. What does that mean? Wait for it. Wait for it. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. It says we will know the shepherd's voice, but we have to stop and listen. So if we take that and we purpose in our hearts to do that, then our state of mind will change. It will. It will go from frazzled to peaceful. And it will also change our agenda. Big time. Our to-do list for the day will change. And that's a good thing. But you can't white knuckle your to-do list. You have to let go of it. But God, I need to. No, we have to give him the list and let him guide us. And pretty soon, his thoughts, his ways, his list will start seeping in. And then his priorities become ours. And it's amazing how much stress just hits the dust when you're functioning in his priorities instead of all the ones we think are important. So when we start doing that and his priorities become our priorities, we also become so much more other-oriented because suddenly there's so much more time. We don't even know how that happens. Suddenly I do have time to bake cookies for this, and I do have time to counsel with that person. I do have time to sit and just cuddle with my 11-year-old. I don't know how that happened, but it's all happening. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Philippians 2:4. This happens when we give God our priorities and he becomes our priority. Next, we need to develop courage. I think women are really strong. We are the ones who birth the babies, right? I think we're incredibly strong. So we need to just cultivate that strength and that courage that God has just put in us women. It has been proven that when we are negative and complaining about something, that our emotional well-being is damaged, as well as our physical well-being. It actually pulls the strength right out of us. Not only does it harm us, but it harms the people around us. Proverbs 12:25 says, an anxious heart weighs a man down. And that is so true. You're just so anxious, you're completely distracted. You can't focus. You can't bring one more thing into your existence, right? To battle that, we follow through on what the scripture says. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Philippians 2:14. This is really a fun activity. You make yourself accountable to a sister, a daughter, a friend. Say, today, we're not going to complain about anything. And every time you start to complain and you get busted, you text your friend and say, oops. And they just send back that happy face, like, keep on keeping on. It's such a good activity because you realize, you think, oh, I'm not that negative of a person. And then you do that activity and you go, oh, jiminy Christmas. I really need some work. It's really a good discipline to start working on. So instead of thinking and complaining you're not going to go for the I can't in life, you're going to say, okay, God, this is in my life. It came through your fingers. All right. Because my first propensity is, God, I did not sign up for this. I did not see this coming. This is not what I chose. He's like, do you trust me? I chose it for you. It's not easy. I know. I chose it for you. Okay, Dad. So, we decide we will be up for the challenge because we love the circumstance? Not usually. But because we trust what God says and that his word is truth. We trust him and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he loves us and his purposes will play out. In 2 Timothy 1:7 it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Do you believe it? Write that one down. That's a good one to just keep revisiting on that card all over your house, your car, wherever. Now I want to go to John chapter 11. And this is interesting that God's going to take us there tonight, because I want us to discover something else about our to-do lists in relation to God. So we're going to go back to John 11. And this is a story of the death of Lazarus. It's not a happy story. You know, it's a sad occurrence in our lives when we lose a loved one. And it's very interesting how Jesus motors in this. So let's take a look at it. I'm going to read it. The death of Lazarus. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there?" All right, let's look at this. Jesus waits for 2 more days. Lazarus is really, really sick. He loves Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, but he holds off. All right. Then we get to when Jesus comforts the sisters down in verse 17 of chapter 11. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. So if you've ever seen the Jewish culture, they just mourn, like, whoo, wailing. And this is what's going on now when Jesus arrives. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And after she had said this, I'm kind of perusing through this chapter, she went back and she called her sister Mary aside and she said, "The teacher is here and he's asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and she went to him. She wasn't mad at him. She went right to him. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said the same thing her sister said. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied, and Jesus wept. And then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And then we follow through in the story and we see that Jesus does raise Lazarus from the dead. But I have to read my favorite scripture in this chapter too, just because it just makes me smile. Martha, you know, her Lazarus is dead. She's very sad. She's mourning. But she takes a moment to say to Jesus, "By this time, there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. I think that's hilarious. Like, "But God, he stinketh." That's what it is in the King James. It just cracks me up. But anyway, that is just a little side note. What I want to look at here is the fact that Jesus is not being a people pleaser, is he? No. In fact, he waits because if he had zoomed in there and done what everybody wanted him to do, he would have glorified God. Lazarus would have been healed from his sickness. But wow, he waited. He does it the way God wants to do it. And he raises Lazarus from the dead. That's a little more out of the ordinary, a little more supernatural, right? So that glorifies God to the nth degree. What can we learn from this? First off, we also see that the disciples are going, no, you can't go there because you're going to get killed. Again, Jesus, did he listen to the people? No, he had to be tuned in to God. Did he get killed? They were wrong. God had his back. Okay, so our ways are not God's ways. Now, I know God is not in the skin, and it takes a lot of discipline to go, oh, I'm listening over here. Excuse me, good opinion, but. And people can get really offended, I know, but we just have to do it in love. Even when we are in pain and when we don't understand, when circumstances look bleak, you can know that God is good. That's not always easy, is it? When my dad held my oldest daughter and she was just 2 months old, it was the last time he got to hold her. And the Lord took him home. What was that? But my God is good. My God knows. I don't know what that was. I still don't know what that was. But my God is good. My God is good. And I just have to trust him till I see him and I get to see my dad again. They knew what he was doing. And my mom is walking amazingly with the Lord now. So I don't know. I don't know, but my God is good. In 1 Corinthians 1:25, it says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." We just have to trust. We were not put on this earth to be people pleasers, ladies. And that can be a problem, because as women, we're so nurturing that we kind of want to sometimes flit around and fix and help a little more than we were signed up to help. God's like, I have it covered. Thank you. Step aside. So we were put on this earth to please God. And if we can live accordingly, then our to-do list is vastly modified. I think we have so many to-dos on our list that aren't God's. I really do. And I think we succumb to the pressures of other people saying, oh, this is a good thing, or you should do that, or aren't you doing that? We will be more focused, more purposeful, and life will be less complicated if we listen here first. And it's amazing how people respect that. And you don't have to fall over yourself making excuses or explaining. It's just like, just not right now. It's not working for me right now. Can't do that right now. Got this list. This is how long it's supposed to be. People really actually respect that. Like, woo, what you got going on? I want some of that. That's usually how they respond. Okay, so the next thing I want to talk about is getting together with friends. And I want you to get together with this friend first and foremost always. And I don't think we should pick up the phone or text everybody on the list. What should I do? I don't think that's what we should do. But I know that when I'm feeling blue or stressed out from everyday challenges, a mocha moment with a wise friend really can turn my day around. And God provides those for us. But make sure it's a wise friend. Somebody you know will give you wise, godly counsel. Things just don't feel as serious if you can talk about it with somebody. Get it out on the table. And sometimes as you're talking, you're like, oh, I'm having an aha. I get this now. I can trudge through this a lot easier just by saying it out loud to my friend. And then they can give you words of encouragement. Spending time with friends definitely can be a stress buster. Paul even talked about that. He says, I long to see you that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. In Romans 1:11. And I can't tell you how cool it is when somebody will leave a message on my phone. Because, you know, of course, we don't ever really talk to each other. It's all by message because we're so busy. And they'll just say, thought about you today, was praying. It's like they had no idea what was going on. But my Heavenly Father did. He tapped him on the shoulder and said, pray for Sharon today. Oh, my gosh. It means the world to me. And they may never know how much. And usually I'll say, Larry, thanks so much. It was the perfect time to pray. That's what we should be doing for each other. It doesn't have to be this big emoting, oh my gosh, and you just lay out all, you just regurgitate all over them. It doesn't have to be like that. In fact, I'm hoping, you know, I mean, there are those safe people in your life who can take that, and it's important to have a safe place like that. But that regurgitation first should go to him. because he handles it best anyway. Okay, and then I want to talk about cherishing the moment and cherishing your memories. Sometimes we get going so fast, we forget to cherish the moment. It's good that I still have an 11-year-old in my house because children are beautiful that way. They just see life differently, and they make you stop and notice that flower or that frog or whatever, you know, where you're just like, yeah, we got to go. But instead, you're like, you're right. That is so amazing. Ooh, what does he feel like? You know, it's like, wow, isn't God cool? He makes rubbery frogs or whatever it is that they've decided to make you stop and notice. I want to be more like a child. And she's a really, really good reminder for me. It's important that we take pictures. Remember Beth Moore saying, take a picture of it. Even if you don't have a camera, just take that moment. Remember it. I love that. Sometimes we'll just be somewhere and I'll go, this is so funny. And all three of us, like myself and my two daughters, okay. So goofy, but we always, yeah, take the moment to appreciate it. And then you laugh about it later and it remains special inside of you. Things just, you know, we need to lighten up and cherish that. We've got to take the moment to love on people, be grateful for the small stuff, try to appreciate the little things that happen. And, you know, if a good song comes on, enjoy it. If your dog runs up and just wants to love on you, man, aren't dogs awesome? They just like you. You know, whenever you come in, they just run at you. Oh, you're wonderful. We should be like our dogs. I just love my dog. He just makes me feel like the bomb. And then, you know, when we're doing that, when we're taking the moment to cherish, we're just, have you ever been in a Bible study and you look across at somebody and you go, I don't get that person, God. Okay, you're seeing inside my head. This may be a little TMI for you, but, and I'll just be like, I don't understand that person. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just floods you with this love for that person because you're feeling what he feels for that person. You're like, whoa, I can hardly handle this. Those are the neatest moments, aren't they? The other day, you know, I have a 19-year-old. And so it's like this girl, this woman, this girl, this woman, my daughter, another woman. You know, it's kind of, what are we? You know, I love this season of life with her. But the other day I was driving to work and I go, I don't understand, God. And I'm on the way to work. And God did the most amazing thing for me. Because, you know, I was going toward impatience. You can see it, right? And all of a sudden, I just got flooded with tears. Like, and I'm on my way to work, which is special. I walk into work just like, but I'm just like sobbing in the car. Like, what is this? Like, is this hormonal? What is this? You know? And I pulled up and I parked and I was like, okay, God, we got to get it together because I have to get into work. And in that moment, you know how you just, he doesn't speak out loud to you, but you know what he's saying to you? It was one of those. He was saying, this is the pain she's feeling right now. What if I didn't have God to parent with me? I would have been clueless. And so that night I went home and I said, Taylor, I had no idea. And she's looking at me like, didn't talk to you. Were you checking my phone? You know, that kind of thing. But it's like, and she just fell in my arms and we just cried together. What if we didn't have God to clue us in? We have to take these moments. We just do. So, with that in mind, Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you. We can have that kind of feeling that's beyond emotion, that connectedness, because this is forever. As quirky as we all are and different as we all are, this is forever. That blows my mind. I'll sit at Thursday morning study and look around the table and go, well, you know, none of us would have been friends probably had it not been for the Lord. What a crazy mix of people. This is awesome. And we're going to be doing this throughout eternity. Blows my mind. I love God. Okay, now I want to address laughter. And there are scriptures, but I didn't pull one because I found these quotes that I liked. But There was this guy named Norman Cousins, and he's the author of The Anatomy of an Illness. It's an interesting book. And he was dying from this disease that I can't pronounce. Ankylotic spondylitis. Anyway, sound like a dinosaur when I said it. But anyway, he discovered that laughter made him feel better. And he said that he checked out funny videos and literally laughed himself well. Now, I'm sure the Lord was in there, you know. But scientists have found a link between pleasure and health. So good, clean jokes and fun are some of the very best stress busters. Have you ever been in a ridiculous situation in life and you just kind of feel like you're going to step away and look at it like it's a movie? And you're just looking at it going, that's insanity. And it just strikes you funny. Those are healthy moments when you can step away from the car, step away from your life, and look at that. It's just funny. Those are good moments. Sebastian Chamfort was a French writer, and he said, the most wasted day of all is that in which we have not laughed. And it's true. Laughter keeps us healthy. It keeps us sane in a society that can be so oppressive. And it actually is a barrier between high stress and health. And it helps you with your abs, right? So you're exercising at the same time. And which brings me to moving it. We need to move it. The first thing we want to do when we're not doing well with stress, we're shutting down, we're hunkering down, is we try and isolate. God names himself as our Heavenly Father for a reason. We're family. He doesn't want us to isolate from each other. I do too. I go into my closet. I'll come out when we have figured it out and I'm better. It is our propensity. There is a place to be just you and God. But there's also something to be said about not isolating, going ahead and kicking your bottom all the way to that Bible study, even though you don't feel like it. I don't care. Go in your flannel jammies if you have to. But get there, because those words of encouragement from other women and hearing their stories and seeing what God has done in their lives, it is very motivating. It builds my faith to see what other women go through. What God has done in their lives. There are so many times they're talking to me about their story. I'm like, wow, this is building my faith. Beautiful, beautiful things. We need to move it. We also need to move it in terms of exercise. I'm not saying that we need to all be marathon runners or whatever, but there is a chemical endorphin flow that happens. And, you know, I ran a marathon, so I know what that is. You hit the wall, you think you're going to die, and then you get over that wall, and you could run till you actually did die, because your body just does something where you just don't even feel like your feet are hitting the pavement anymore. But you can get that walking your dog. It is an important chemical thing that God built into our bodies, and we need to move it. So that's my little thing on staying sane by moving your body and being healthier. Treadmills are a beautiful thing. I was thinking about that the other day. I was running my miles on the treadmill thinking, this is really funny because I always watch, because at the gym, you know, you got your little TV and then you have your iPod in your ear. So I listen to really fast music. I watch the Food Channel and I run 4 miles. Is that just the stupidest thing? But I moved it. And when I walk home to my car, it's like, I feel so much better. And if I talk myself out of moving it, makes a big difference on my psyche for the day or for the week if I'm just fudging. So we don't need to run miles, but we need to get outside. We need to breathe fresh air. If you have to, when my girls were small, I'd pop them in the jogger. And oh my gosh, is that not a trip? Mommy, I lost my dolly. You're kidding. So then I'd have to run all the way back and try and find the silly doll or whatever. You just do what you have to do. It's so important to just move. And then sometimes it's good to find somebody in your neighborhood or go after church. We have people who bike after church now. I've not done that except once, but it's a good thing. A friend shared with me some great bicycle seats with really thick padding. Because, man, I go 2 miles and I'm just like, who does this? However you can move, move. So this is what we want to learn. We learn to control the stresses in our life by first meditating on God's word every day. Listening to God so he guides our to-do list. We determine to get our minds off ourselves and see how rich God can make our lives. We trust God and his word no matter what our circumstances are. We do not isolate. We get together with wise friends and encourage one another. We learn to laugh at ourselves and our circumstances. We try to slow down and cherish the important moments in life. And we notice those inconspicuous blessings. Don't you love that? And of course, we keep our bodies moving. So I'm going to leave you with a scripture. Do not be anxious about your life. You know this one. Matthew 6. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith? Therefore, you know it's coming when he says therefore. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. And remember, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. No what ifs, ladies. Just stay in the present. God's going to take care of the business.